Redemption, of course, means obedience, like in most things. Whether it be on the running track, sports field, business, or whatever, and in certainly indeed for our faith. Obedience is the name of the game, and we tend to forget that in our busiest moments. And I sort of, if I have a theme at all, it is to say, I am going not knowing. In fact, those words, I am going not knowing my destiny, occur quite frequently in the Bible, do they not? We have Paul in Acts 20 saying, and now, in obedience to the Holy Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. He went not knowing. He knew where he was going, but he did not know the finer details. Or, as quoted in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out, not knowing where he was going. In many ways, you know, that's life. You set out in the morning, you know where you're going, but you don't know where you're going. You don't know what's going to happen. What are the surprises in store for you? So it's common in life. It's common sense to say that. We make decisions, often not knowing how they're going to pan out, do we not? It happens in family matters, in business, in moving work, or home. The big difference, you know, between that and the common man is that being in faith, we believe the Lord leads us, whatever, in a certain direction or in the pursuit of a certain goal. That leading, at least to us, is clear. Not necessarily, because it's the Lord, the mysteriousness of the Lord, logical or explainable at the time, but clear. So out of obedience, we go. Rather like Nathan and Faye and family recently. We pack our bags, pull up stakes, say farewell to friends, and strike out in obedience. The leading is sure from the Lord, but often the future can be and can look jolly uncertain or misty. Now, Noah, his friends must have thought him absolutely stark, raving, bonkers, potty, building a huge boat so far from waters. We'll now do a little bit of ad-libbing. Nathan, of course, is a traveller, a fellow traveller in life, can have the honour of being Noah, and I'll be his close neighbour, Fred. Hi, Noah. What are you doing in your back garden?
We're going to need some more of these. Oh, I'm building an ark. I'm getting ready for when there's this great big massive flood.
Flood?
Yes. Yeah,
you bonker! You're joking. You're joking. No. We haven't had decent rain round here for yonks, for years. Goodness me, what a load of cobblers. Oh, dear.
Fred, you're not going to believe this, mate. I've left my measuring tape down the other end of the site.
Oh, good job at all. Let's go get your measuring tape and keep sticking at it. You haven't been talking to God again, have you?
Well, as a matter of fact, Fred, it's not the fact I've been talking to God. He's been talking to me.
God has been talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay then. What are the exact detail? What time of day and what day is this blinking flood going to come on us when we're all going to be drowned and whatever?
So it's like I told you, Fred, what's it up in about nearly 100 years?
Yes, it's just like absolutely bonkers. Absolutely stark, bonkers, mate.
I've had the details, and I've built this thing. I don't know when.
You've been told to build an ark, and you don't know much more about it. Well, okay, Fred, it's time for lunch. Got to go in. Otherwise, I'll get shot if I'm late again. It just about sums it up. You know, Noah, some of us have been a bit worried about you lately. And the way, you know, all I can say is, you're losing it, mate.
I do feel rather stiff these days, Fred.
You're bonkers.
I'm rather stiff these days. Like
take care.
I will, thank you.
Go watch some footy at Cardiff, I'll cheer you up.
Just remember, Fred, there's a storm coming in.
Maybe. And rainbows as well, I reckon. And of course, there you have it. It's no easy thing to step off the pier, to walk out in faith, not knowing the end result, and we all do it. Our difference is we are in faith. That's the difference. Noah began a journey that was unpredictable, risky, untried, and appeared absolutely bonkers to his neighbours. Yet he was prompted by none other than the Lord himself. I recall a thriving businessman decades ago in a large congregation I attended, and he was fired by a word from God and said so, and gave his business away. Wait for it. He gave his business away, apparently, for £1 in order to start life afresh, living God's way. That's a stunner for you, isn't it? That actually happened. And actually, no harm came to him. None at all. On the other hand, and this is where we begin the questions, on the other hand, the faith walk is littered with those who had thought God had spoken to them, and he had not. Are you, I don't know, you'll be, are you on the verge of some sort of momentous decision? Is the Lord suggesting you take a leap of faith, of real faith? If so, whatever, will you count on him to guide your steps when the tunnel of life seems dark and long and dreary and full of problems? Many, alas, think they've received a call when they haven't. I've got a good mate, a good friend for some decades now, who periodically believes that the Lord has called him to move house and home, often huge distance away. As I recall it, over recent years, it's been Berlin, Ireland, North Norfolk, etc. It still hasn't happened, fortunately, as it turns out. So before you jump, look before you leap. Be sure, and this is where the mystery comes in and the uncertainty, does it not, in taking a leap of faith, be sure that it is the Lord who is speaking. Be sure that the decision, therefore, is in line with Scripture's word. I mean, not many of us do that. I have had people, even in here on occasions over the years, who have said, oh, the Lord spoke to me this morning. And you go, the Lord speaks an awful lot to you. I never get those clear words in the early hours or the late hours. They just don't come. The thing that comes to me is looking at other people's experience, faith people, and also reading my scriptures and soaking and meditating on the scripture year after year. In line with scripture's word is important. Be sure, and this is very important, be sure that the motive is totally unselfish. Because leaping might harm others. Rather, as I had pointed out to me two or three years ago on an incident, that's rather the mayhem is like slinging a stone into a mill pond. the ripples go out and out and out and can harm and disturb lots of other people. Be sure that the initiative springs from the mind of Almighty God, mysterious as he is. As Sukkot tells us, does it not? Recently, we are but strangers and pilgrims on earth. We are people on the move, living in tents, free and unencumbered, loose and available, ready to roll, willing to break the mould whenever and wherever he leads. In fact, Exodus 15, a full 40 years before the Israelites actually got to the promised land, sort of prophecy, Moses could absolutely confidently, remember that chapter 15? In there, Moses sings his song, doesn't he? He sings to Adonai, in your love, you led the people, you redeemed again, Noah, redeemed. In your strength, you guided them to your holy abode. Redemption by obedience. And I think that I do, when I have these sort of little problems about what to do, family-wise, whatever, not work now because I've finished work, but leisure-wise even, get into the habit of saying, speak, Lord. When the circumstances press in on you and the hassle begins and you've got to make them decisions and you're uncertain which way to go, say, speak, Lord, and make time for quiet listening. Isaiah said that the Lord spoke to him with a strong hand. And eventually, after saying, speak, Lord, the Lord will speak to you with that strong hand. That is, by the pressure of circumstances. You have to make a decision, one way or the other. Paul in Acts 26 says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. If we do not, you see, if we do not run our belief in our Lord, our God, into practical issues, it's all up with any vision that God has given us. It's absolutely useless. The only way to obedience is, and wait for it, as my favourite, Oswald Chambers says, is to give our utmost. Our utmost. It's like running a race, faith is. You won't win anything, you won't go anywhere if you're poddling along at the back and you've entered for the race. Oh, I'm enjoying faith, so a lovely sort of stuff. Doing nothing, it's a race. Not nasty or horrible, exciting race, like racing. I always found mountain marathons and cross-country exciting. Look forward to the race. Our utmost for God's highest. The test, you know, the test of faith, thinking about it, is 60 seconds of every minute. And the 60 minutes of every hour we have. Not just like now, or our time of prayer, or our devotional meeting, whatever. It's all the time. It's hard, and sometimes it's drudgery, and you have to have courage and obedience sometime to keep knocking in. Speak, Lord, speak. Knock, knock on wood. Speak to this wooden head, Lord. To get the call of God, it is essential to practice the walk of our feet in the light of the vision God gives us. All the true saints, and I've met not many, but I met quite a few real saints. Big Barry, one of my mates, in his mid-80s now, Big Barry could have been taken part and got to the promised land in Pilgrim's Progress. A true saint. Have an intense spiritual reality about themselves. What is that spiritual reality? It's quite simple. They're expecting Yeshua, Jesus, in every circumstance. Speak, Lord. They have an attitude of child wonder, which he wants us to have. I remember with Big Barry, I'll be over the time on this, but Big Barry, we went to Beaver Castle one day, and we walked around. We didn't have enough readies on us to get in and pay the fortune to get in, and we wandered around the back door. And my mate, and there was three of us, like last of the summer wine, we were out on, three of us having a walk. So I said, okay then, Piggy, come on, you know, open door here. And Big great heart, Big Barry says, you can't do that, lads. It's not scriptural. So we just had a walk around the garden. That's true faith. He made the decision for us, whatever. Child wonder. They set their hearts on what he wants, on thinking along his line. Simple, but jolly hard. You may appear unpractical as a result. Even dreamy, even. But when he appears in the heat of the moment and the heat of the day, as he did to Noah, you'll be the one who's ready, not the others. You see, in many ways, Noah stood alone. Like when Fred was having a go at him just now. In that sense, we all stand alone, although we're in the world. The secret of the worker's life, in my view, is that you keep in tune with God as best you can all the time. And of course, the discernment of God's call, fortunately, I suppose, in a way, does not come in every moment of life, but only in the special moments. The moments our Lord spoke to us as being light, the light of the world. The light comes. And we have to remain true to what we've seen in those moments of light and clarity. If we don't, we keep putting back God's purpose in our lives. Arguments against obeying the call, like with Fred, will arise in all manner of ways, as Noah found over the garden fence. If you listen to those arguments, you will soon dull your ears and become, in my view, and I've seen it in plenty of congregations over the decades, you will become the dullest, most commonplace, unimaginable person of faith ever, because you have no courage in your faith. It's rote. It's religious exercise. You have seen and heard, whether by speaking your voice, God's voice, but reading the word especially, but have not gone on. You hear the call of God and realize what he wants for you. Then you begin to find reasons. Common sense comes in. Not spiritual awareness, common sense. All the reason why you should not obey him. So remain true to what God wants for you. Providing, of course, you look before you leap and have been obedient to his highest. And this is the secret. I understand more and more, being absolutely devoted to your co, and now capital W, your co-worker within. Otherwise, you merely play religious speak games to no purpose apart from your own ego whatsoever. We can assume that Noah was in communion with God, for he was deemed righteous in his generation, no matter how righteous that righteous was in his generation. He got the baffling call, as we do in our lives. And he must have been completely baffled. And I thought about that. And it's been put that the call of God is rather like the call of the sea to a seaman. Now, my ancestors on my mother's side were all fishermen for generations in their East Coast village in Norfolk, of Winterton. They had the call of the sea. It was in their blood, the stirring to go to the sea, to love the sea. I've never felt that call for the sea at all. I've got it. I think I took my last exploit in, I got my 25 metre swimming certificate in 1987 and retired on a winning run. That was it. So I'd never been near to the sea in that sense. Sadly, I've never felt that call. As with faith, listen carefully, no one but the called hears the call unless the nature of the call is in them. And you have to put that nature in to hear God's call. If it isn't in, all the reading, all the prayers, all the devotions are worthless. You've got to get that personal co-worker call within and believe it. God's call is it to be in comradeship with himself for his own purposes, not yours. And the test of obedience is to believe that God knows what he is after, no matter what the dilemma you're in. You'll get to the end of the tunnel and the light, his light will shine. It always does. And I've been in some right pickles and scrapes over the years, I can tell you. Noah, in communion with God, actually understood this all those thousands of years ago. And as we go on in our faith life, you know, we are less inclined to say, we don't even bother about it, now why did God allow this and that in my life? You don't question it. You go on. There is a divinity, if we're believers, that shapes our destiny and our ends. We trust the wisdom of God in all matters. You see, the main thing, in my view, about faith life is not so much the work we do for him, working commas, not so much the work we do, but the relationship we maintain with him while we're doing it. If it isn't there, then all the work is wasted. Everyone does that sort of work in clubs and societies. That is all that God asks us to look after, the relationship with him. And it is the one thing, incidentally, that is constantly attacked. Whether you call it by nonsense, satanic things, whatever. Constantly attacked. And I will end with a quote from my favourite commentator, Oswald. Listen to this. In spiritual relationship, we do not grow step by step. Did you realise that? We don't grow in spiritual relationship step by step. We're either in it or we're not in it. It's as simple as that. It's a question of obedience, whether you're in it or not in it. And when that is secured, that obedience and that relationship, the relationship is perfected in life, whatever. And you turn away for 1 second out of that obedience and you get, let's give a sort of a Puritan, an old 17th century word, you get darkness and spiritual death, in commas. Whether or not I hear God's call depends on the state of my lug holes, my ears. And what I hear from the Lord depends on my attitude and disposition at the time. And if I'm happy and feeling grumpy and nasty, which I do innumerable times, then my ears are bunged up and blocked. And finally, I love this little phrase. Many are called, but few are chosen. Correct? Amen.